Welcome to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. What is synergy? Well, if you look up the dictionary and Google, you know what, let's do Google because they're a more reliable source, right? Well, you'll read something to the effect of the total is greater than the sum of its parts. Okay, so it's greater if we multiply. Yeah, but what about empowering each other? Well, let's look at it from logistics, right? 2 plus 3 is 5. That's what we are when we combine, when we add to each other. But what's 2 times 3? Ooh, it's 6. That's actually a little bit more. But what's 2 to the 3rd power? That's 8. Okay, well, that's kind of cool when you think about it. We can augment each other, not just add to each other, or even multiply. How about 2 and 4? Well, 2 plus 4 is 6. 2 times 4 is 8, but 2 to the 4th power is 16. Okay, and 2 plus 5, yeah, that's 7. 2 times 5 is 10. 2 to the 5th power is 32. Human energy. Okay, we got power here. When we come together, we synergize. We don't just multiply each other, we empower each other to be exponentially more. But what I tell people is, when you empower someone, you have to remember that there is no such thing as neutral energy. Yeah, it's either positive or it's negative. That's kind of sobering to think about. That means you are either going to have a good effect on people or a bad effect on them. There is no middle ground. Okay, so think about two things now. First of all, what is your power like? And what's the quality of the energy that you add to people? No, you multiply. No, you empower people. How much? To do what? Most people don't really want to think about the fact that power comes with responsibility. Yeah, we're not responsible for each other, but we're responsible to each other. Do you believe that? Well, you know what? It's actually even more than that. Responsibility demands accountability. Well, you know, in some countries like the United States, we don't really think we're accountable to anybody because we have freedom and independence. That means we can do and say whatever we want because it's our right. Rights come with responsibilities. Now, if you don't want to accept your responsibility, okay, that's actually negative energy. You're going to be hurting the people that you are with because you're telling them that you don't care about them. And that's not even true, because as people, we do care about each other. Yes, we care about ourselves. We have to care enough about ourselves to get ourselves into a high quality state of mind and heart and body. But think about when you're doing things and you're saying things and you're being things, do you stop periodically and just ask yourself, what kind of person am I? How high quality is what I do or say? But you know what, even more? How about what you're thinking and feeling that are the source, that create the cause of the effect? Okay, now we've got to take a step back. Today I'm going to be talking about something that happened to me in the past week. It was a pretty intense experience. A lot of very bad things happened to me, but I still conquered the evil with good. Do you believe that good energy can empower you to conquer bad situations, to successfully overcome things that, well, could seem like an impediment or even in direct opposition? An impediment just stops you from making progress. What about the things and people in your life that undermine you, actually working against you to not only prevent your progress, but to do damage? Today, the power of synergy is going to be in a practical sense based on a personal experience that I had. I'm going to be talking about some of the people that I interacted with in a good way and a bad way. Think about yourself and your situation in your life, people that you've known. How many times did you stop and say to the good, yeah, let's empower each other to conquer the bad? You're going to like some of these stories, and you might even have some questions. We're going to take a quick break. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Now, today I'm not going to be taking calls, but if you want to submit a question, please feel free to send an email to thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. And the reason I'm not asking people to call in and ask me a question during this hour is because I'm sharing a very personal story, an experience that I had recently that I want people to really think about and wonder in their own lives how many things like this have happened to them. Ask yourself, if something like this had happened to me, what would my response have been, not only in what I say and what I do, but my thoughts and feelings in reaction to those things potentially happening to me? How would I think about the people who did these things? How would I feel about the situation that facilitated these people to do these things? Okay, so without going into too much gory detail, let me give you a heads up. Yeah, it was a negative experience, and it was a combination of a lot of different factors. But I want you to think, too, about how certain things you can manage, other things you just have to take it and go with the flow. Okay, so it started out with the fact that I was coming down to Phoenix from Seattle to do some work in a homeless shelter. Yeah, I have a campaign going on for CAS and HSC. They are homeless shelters in the downtown Phoenix area, and they abuse the people that live there. They break the law. They do damage to the community by undermining the success of the people who go to them. I said to my husband, look, it's been a while since I've been down there. I need to go. Yes, I used to live here. I have things down here in storage. I have my medical insurance. I was just about to run out of my pills. I only had a few days left. I thought, you know what, I'll just get my refill here at the pharmacy. Okay, well, I got there on Friday of last week. Okay, so like a week ago from 2 days ago. You know what, I didn't even know because I was so excited to be here. I called up the pharmacy and said, you know what, I'm going to be out of pills on Sunday. Let's get a refill. And they said, okay, yeah, you're all out of insurance. You don't have any coverage. So your pills are going to cost you about $1,500. What? Are you serious? It's only 60 pills. That's like $25 per pill. Okay, that got my energy kind of negative. Okay, but I thought that's okay. I can just go ahead and call the state and say, what happened? Let's reapply for the insurance that I get, Medicaid, actually. And they said, okay, no problem. But you know, it's kind of late in the day on Sunday, and the person who takes care of that just left. Okay, well, then I'll have to wait till Monday. I have 2 days of pills left. That means first thing Monday morning, I'm going to have to deal with the situation, right? Because I may even end up either having to buy a pill for $25 or skipping a pill just so that... Okay, you know what? Fine, I'll buy the pills. That's fine. Oh, that's right, but Monday's a holiday, so we're looking at Tuesday. But okay, but I got everything in on Friday, right? So by Tuesday, I'll have the medication. I mean, I'll have the coverage to get the medication. Yeah, don't worry about it. Have a nice weekend. Okay, I was starting to get some anxiety over the weekend, but no problem. You just wait it out. You go with the flow. Okay, so Monday, Tuesday. Monday, I had to buy the pills. Okay, well, on Tuesday, I said, oh, let's call him up and see what's going on. Do I have the coverage? Yes, I got my coverage on Tuesday. Excellent. So I went into the pharmacy and said, okay, so let me go ahead and get my pills refilled. And they said, yeah, you know what? You don't have any insurance. You don't. I said, yes, I do. I just called them. Well, I called them back and said, can you please give me my account number, my case number, my ID number, whatever you guys call it here. And they said, yeah, okay, we'll go ahead and give it to you. Now, keep in mind, this was about 9 in the morning. They gave me the information. I gave it to the pharmacy, and they said, no, nothing's coming up. You might have to deal with the carrier, not just the state, because they have to give your information to someone else. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that when you're calling companies, you don't get people, you get automated systems. So you please press whatever number you have to press to get to whatever department you need to get to, because you're certainly not going to talk to people. Okay. So I'm going to stay in a positive set of mind. Yeah, I needed to call my daughter and just verbally vomit on her. But you know what? I got back in a good mood. That's the secret. Okay, so I find out that, yeah, you got all the paperwork done, you got approved through the state, but the actual company that they contract with, because you have to pick the carrier, I guess, well, it takes a few days for them to, you know, get everything finalized and show it in the system, so they show it to the pharmacy to get you your coverage. Okay, Tuesday. Wednesday. Well, you know what I could do? I could just go to the emergency room and they'll give me one pill at a time because I don't have another, what, $150? It could take 3 to 5 days. No, actually, it could take 5 to 7 business days, which again could be then 7 to 10 calendar days. Fine, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and go to the emergency room to get a pill. Okay. You know what? I don't have time. I have to do something else. I just skipped the pill. I went to the emergency room that night. I got the pill. Okay, next day, I called back to check and see. You know what? No, still don't have the insurance. Okay, should I? Well, this is Wednesday, Thursday. You know what? Go into the ER. I got one pill. Then, you know what, the next night, could I get... Well, you know what, the emergency room says, oh, no, we have your prescription. What? No, wait a minute. You mean you have my insurance? But I called them back, and they said that I still didn't have it. So how is it showing up? Well, apparently at that hospital, it was my previous insurance that they didn't see on the computer had been deactivated. Okay, so I'm trying really hard not to get in a bad mood. I'm going without some pills, buying other ones, trying to get them in the emergency room because I do know that, again, the emergency room charges an inordinate fee for sitting in their lobby for several hours to sit in one of the beds for several hours to get about 5 minutes with a doctor. Well, long story short, I ended up having to just do another one pill at a time. I said, can't you just give me the pill and I'll take it somewhere else? No, because it's a controlled substance. So I had to sit there and literally wait for the doctor to watch me take the pill. It got to the point where I ended up having to do it again. And then when I finally got a doctor at the hospital in downtown Phoenix, he said, well, your pharmacy didn't tell you about GoodRx? I said, what is that? He said it's a discount system, a coupon kind of for your medication. I said, what is that? And he showed it to me on the phone. He literally got on my phone with me and said, yeah, your $1,500 medication, this store costs about $36. I said, what? I was so angry, I literally went back to my pharmacy and said, do you guys know about this? You saw me calling the state and the insurance carrier, whatever you call it. Why didn't you tell me that I could be getting this service? And they said, oh, well, you never asked. Okay. So I said, well, clearly I'm transferring my prescription. So I got the script right from the hospital along with the GoodRx card, and I took it to the store where it was only going to be $36. Well, they said, oh, yeah, well, the doctor didn't sign this prescription. Okay. All right. So I need to go back to another hospital. And I went to this one a little bit closer, and the pharmacy said, you know, you could take it back and have the doctor sign it. I said, no, you know what, just get rid of it. I'm going to go to this other place, and yeah, they'll go ahead and they'll give me one more pill for tonight, and I'll take care of it. Oh, you know, they'll give me the script, right? They'll give me the prescription. So I went to this other place. I said, look, I have to go somewhere. I have to be in by 8 o'clock at night. It's 5 o'clock. Do you think I could be out of here for sure by 8? And they said, what are you here for? I said, I need a prescription, but I also need my dose for tonight. But I may have to go without a dose for tonight if you're not going to be able to give it to me by a certain time. And they said, no, yeah, it's fine. You were here before. I said, exactly. And it's not that hard to do. And they said, okay, no problem. So they brought me into the back and sat me in a row of chairs. Now keep this in mind. I didn't get a bed. I have been stressed out and very tired trying to go from place to place, trying to get this prescription. They said, here, sit in a chair. You know what? It's only, what, 6 o'clock? And I'm thinking, okay, 7, I'm going to have to get a bus back. But I said, okay, you know what? Let's just take a chance. If I have a seizure, maybe they'll give me a bed, right? So I'm thinking, half full. Let's keep our energy positive. Okay, so picture it. I'm sitting in this row of chairs up against a wall, and I have another, I don't know what their job is. Obviously, they're not a doctor, they're not a nurse, maybe a hospital employee, practitioner, or something. I didn't bother to look at their ID card because it was turned around. So they took my blood pressure. I said, I really do need my pill right now, and I'm getting kind of hungry. Could you give me some really bad hospital food? And they said, okay, well, we'll let the nurse know. And they left me. 6:30, 7 o'clock. I said, you know what, you guys? It's just a pill. Just give me a pill. Can I have the pill? And I'll worry about the prescription tomorrow. I really got to go. And they said, oh, well, the doctor's really busy right now. I said, I understand that. But I need a place to sleep tonight. I'm going back to the shelter because I'm doing some work. And they didn't let me finish. I said, okay. I'm going to have to buy a hotel room, and at the last minute, that's kind of expensive. But I was actually falling asleep, sitting in this chair, 7, 8, 9. I was folding over. I was leaning on the side, trying to prop my head up in my hand, but I couldn't really go to sleep because, you know, if I go to sleep and then I wake up, suddenly I'll have a seizure. But I said, you know what? I'm going to just go ahead and wait. And as I fell asleep, it was about 9:15. The nurse woke me up. Hey, okay, you're ready for your medication? I said, well, I need some food. And he said, I never said I would give you food. I never said that. I said, can the doctor talk to me, see me? And then he left, and I looked at the people who were being treated in quite the same way by him, and I said in Spanish, wow, this guy is a jerk. And they're like, yeah, he treated us even worse. He wasn't listening to us. He was insulting us. He was making fun of us. I said, okay, you know what? And they said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm trying to control my seizures. I just need a few days prescription because they don't want to give me the whole prescription. Okay, so I waited a little longer, I said to the doctor, he came in around 10:30, can I have something to eat? He said, what do you want to eat? I said, I don't know, something maybe to take for my medication. I really do. I'm getting tired and I feel like I'm going to have a seizure right now. He goes, wow, that's really horrible, huh? I said, yes, it is. Can I have a bed to sleep in? I've been fighting seizures and missing doses of my medication. He goes, no, that's not what we're here for. I said, do you even know why I'm here? He said, yeah, you want your prescription. I said, I need a few days of pills because I don't want to fill up the entire prescription. And, you know, and he goes, you're being manipulative. I said, no, I'm not. I'm very tired, and I've actually had to fight a, and at that point, a seizure actually started. And I did my mental exercises to stop the seizure. I did some breathing exercises to give myself the energy and the peace of heart to slow my body down. He goes, yeah, you're a really good actor. I said, what? He said, you need to get your things and get out now. I said, okay. By this time, it was 11:45. I said, I do not have any place to go. Is there any way I could just get a bed now? It's very cold out there. And he said, no, we're not a hotel. I said, okay. Then I will get my things and I will walk out. He actually called the security guard. I said, what are you doing? He said, you've been swearing at people and you've been threatening my hospital staff. I said, who did I swear at? He said, I don't need to tell you that. I said, okay. So then more security guards came and forced me out. And I said, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go slow because if I go too fast, I will have another seizure. Do you know that I have epilepsy? Can you please slow down? They walked me right out to the corner, which is on the not the best part of town. I called the police and said, okay, I'm just wondering, is it against the law to sleep on the street corner? And they said, yes. I said, okay, so what are my options at this point besides going to a hotel? They kicked me out of the hospital. They said, well, you know what? You can go back in and say you're suicidal. I said, I'm not suicidal. I just needed to get my prescription. They did not give me the prescription, and I need somewhere to, they said, the shelter, you can go to a shelter. I said, no, the curfew at the shelter is at 8. They said, you know, we're gonna get you some transportation. I told them what happened in the hospital, and they said, okay, we need to go ahead and get you back to the shelter. And we can tell them that these are some extenuating circumstances. I said, okay, but they said that I needed to get out of the hospital. They said, just tell them that we told you to go back to wait for your ride, because this cold, this early in the morning, you're safer inside. I said, okay. As I was walking back into the hospital, there was now a police officer with two security guards saying, okay, you need to get off the property. You are trespassing. If you come back, you are going to jail. I said, actually, I called the police station. They're the ones who told me to come back. I'm walking very slowly back into the edifice because I need to sit and wait for my ride. They called the police station, said, okay, who is she and what is she doing? Well, they found out I was telling the truth. So I got to the shelter at around 1:30. They have a wake-up call at 5 o'clock. So I only got, 3.5 hours of sleep. I went back to the hospital where the prescription was given to me but not signed. I said to the doctor, can you please just give me another prescription and sign it? They said, we sign it electronically. I said, I do not believe this. I'm like hitting rock bottom. I am exhausted. I am very frustrated. I broke down. And the nurse said, okay, you're very unstable. I said, I'm just tired. Can I please just have a bed to sleep in for a few hours? And she said, well, have you ever been homicidal or suicidal? I said, you know what? If I did do anything homicidal, it would be with that doctor who treated me like garbage. And yeah, I could hurt him in 100 different ways. Well, then she called the security in and said that they needed to lock me down. Okay. So I said, great, fine. Chain me to the bed if it means I can get some sleep. And they said, well, we're going to have to send you to a facility, a mental facility. I said, that's fine. Then they can see that I'm fine. I'm just epileptic who's having an anxiety attack. They ended up sending me all the way to the other side of town where they confiscated everything I had, put me in scrubs, and assigned me a bed. I said, great. Go ahead and do your analysis, whatever you do, drugs, mental exercises. I've been in situations where they questioned my mental stability before. Well, I ended up finding out I was going to be there for 6 days. Wow. The worst part, they confiscated my phone, so I couldn't call anybody. I had people who were waiting for me to do work with them, some for them. My husband and kids, they wanted to know if I was okay. I couldn't call them. I needed to be evaluated. Okay, so by this time it was Friday morning. They admitted me, whatever, at around 1:30 Friday morning. And I said, what's going on here? Can I please get at least my morning dose of medication? Well, apparently no one wrote it in my file that I needed to take my anticonvulsant medication. I said, that is the reason why I am here, ladies and gentlemen. Please help me. Just give me my morning dose. They said, no, we can't, not without the paperwork. So I waited for the doctor. They said, no, the doctor should be in around 8 or 9. I said, well, then that's not a problem. Okay, so I can wait. I usually take my morning dose at around 5. 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so when's she coming? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 a.m., 12, it's noon, 1. Is the doctor coming in? Oh, yeah, she should have been here by now. Well, just wait. I said, okay, but if you look at my history, look, you even confiscated my anticonvulsant pills. They say, no, we're not going to give you any pills if it's not written down. I said, okay, 4, 5, oh, my gosh, okay. I take one in the morning at 5. Well, it's actually half a pill. And then another one at around 10, and then another one at around 3, and then another one at around 8 when I go to bed. Because there are 2 half pills in the morning and 2 half pills in the afternoon, because I can't take the whole pill. Okay, you know what? So this is extenuating circumstances, complicating the situation. I could get into a very bad mood, and I got to tell you, in this psychiatric facility, there is a wide variety of a large number of people who have very psychiatric conditions, and I've got nurses and mental health experts, behavioral health technicians, watching me, reading my file, wondering what I'm going to do. I don't know what my file says because the nurses aren't going to tell me that, the behavioral health technicians don't know that, the doctor hasn't come around, and the psychiatrist, well, it's not her day to show up. So I was noticing that the people who live here and the people who work here, right, I say live because some of them literally stay for months at a time, they have different kinds of ailments. They have different personal struggles. Yeah, some of them are mentally ill. Some of them are just biochemically imbalanced. So we got a lot of different medications that are distributed and discussed by a lot of different people. But for the most part, it's just about behavior management. Well, I got to know them, and I noticed that the staff was actually being provocational, especially the nurses. And so as a life coach and a relationship coach, I spent some time giving them advice. And I said, you know, you don't have to do it this way. You could do it a different way. And I started to like them. And there were a few staff members that I really did appreciate and respect and trust. It was important for me to keep in mind that by the time I got my medication Friday night, I asked the doctor, the medical doctor, and I said, what's going on? And then she said, oh, I didn't know they didn't give you your prescription or your dose for the morning. Someone didn't do their job right. Well, and you know what? That bothers me, and I apologize. And I said, okay, great. So I've missed another dose, but the fact that we've communicated, I feel better about that. And I want you to know that my doses are not according to what's on the bottle, which is 200 milligrams twice a day. It's actually 100 milligrams four times a day. And my first dose needs to be at 5 o'clock in the morning, not at 9, when the general population here gets their first morning dose, right? She said, oh, okay, I can go ahead and write that. 100 at 5 o'clock, 100 at 10 o'clock, 100 at 3 o'clock, and 100 at 8 o'clock. That works. I said, great. So if it's written down and everything's good, we're all much better. I'm going to sleep well tonight. Well, someone who was going through detox was put into my room. I told the nurses, I said, but I really need to not be woken up because when you wake me up, that actually makes me have a seizure. So try not to be loud. Well, they put a woman who was going through detox in my room. I was a little worried about that, but I thought, you know what? It's going to be okay because they're going to take care of her. Well, okay, so imagine it. I'm lying there trying to get some sleep. And you know what? My roommate, she didn't even make any noise. I guess she needed to sleep as much as I did. They kept coming into the room. Okay, picture it. I said no light, right? They turn on the light. So, how's it going? What do you need? What's going on? Okay, we need to take your... And I went, geez, Louise, what are you doing? You scared the crap out of me. What are you doing to her? Well, apparently they need to do that every 2 to 3 hours. Okay, well, that means they're going to be doing it 5 to 6 times. That means I'm going to be alarmed, scared, startled, and I'm not going to get my good sleep. And I thought, you know what? Can I communicate with these people and say, we have a couple options. First of all, tell me when the next time you're going to come in, because it doesn't seem to be at consistent times. This is 2 in the morning. The nurse said, oh yeah, the next time we're going to come in is at 6. And I thought, great. So I go to have 4 hours. 4 hours is a nice chunk of sleep, block of time, right? Yeah, they came in again at 4 and woke me up again. Okay, but then because my first dose is at 5 o'clock, I'm like, well, great. Okay, so it's 4 o'clock. Should I just stay awake? I was really unstable. I was beginning to feel a little insane, and I was in a psych ward. I thought, okay, you know what? We got to figure this out. When I don't get sleep, I become very volatile, and my seizures are more likely to happen. And when I don't sleep, well, but you know what? When I sleep, I can't stop them. When I'm awake, I have exercises that I do to fight them and prevent them from happening. What should I do? Should I try to go back to sleep or should I stay awake? Well, you know what? By around 5 o'clock in the morning, I just needed to call my husband and daughter and son and tell them where I was and what was going on. Okay. I was getting very sick emotionally. And that was the time when I needed to have the support and love of the people who loved me. That's the one thing that would help me fight the situation and get my strength and endurance up. Because when I knew I wasn't alone, yeah, I could handle anything. Synergy. But the people that I love, that was the power that I was going to have to fight this situation. Okay, so but it was 5 o'clock. The pill wasn't given to me in the morning, and I thought, okay, so I'm not going to get the 100 milligram dose. There must have been another communication issue. So I waited until 9 o'clock, and after I got off the phone with my husband and daughter, I was like, yeah, okay, I can manage this, even if I don't get, you know, the 100 100 100 100 that I told the doctor that I preferred, I'd still get 200. Okay. So I go up to the nurse's station and say, okay, I'm ready for my morning dose. She gave me 100. I said, whoa, what are you doing? I need 200. She said, no, we have in the computer here that it is 100 milligrams. And I'm like, okay, first of all, do you need to talk to me that way? And no, it's actually 200. So she said, no, that's not what the computer says. I said, okay, but that's what I need. She said, fine. And she gave me the 200 milligrams. And I thought, okay, now I'm in a good mood because my husband and daughter, they talked to me and I told them that I'm going to make it through. Okay, so we had breakfast. It was okay. It was actually pretty good. And I'm sitting here going, need to talk to a doctor about this. I really do want to fix the pills. Okay, but it was 10 o'clock and I was getting really tired. It was 11 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I need to go back to sleep. I can't stay awake. But should I stay awake and fight the seizures, or should I go to sleep and risk having one? I really didn't want to alarm the people that were there, the residents or the staff, because I knew that having a seizure was going to maybe be difficult for them. That's a tough thing to view, to witness, right? But I had to tell them. I said, look, you guys, I don't know if you've ever seen a seizure before. This was to the residents, the other patients. But I might have one because I haven't gotten good sleep and the doses have been kind of off. And please just let me know if this is going to be overwhelming. I'll let the nurses know. And they said, no, you know what? Thanks for telling us. We'll be fine. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So I decided to take a nap at 11. Started to rest and feel a little bit better. At 11:15, they barge through the room door. They start yelling at my roommate again, who is still asleep because apparently detox can take 24 to 48 hours. And they literally startled me awake. I could not believe it. So this time it was about 12 o'clock. I am awake, pacing around, having more anxiety attacks. And I'm like, you know what? I can't handle this. So all of the group just goes outside for their smoke break. And I got the phone and I was just bawling my eyes out. And I said to my husband, I said, baby, I don't know if I can do this. I can't keep missing my sleep. And I need to talk to the doctor about my pills being administered right, because I feel like this is a really... And I started crying. Well, one of the girls that I was talking to earlier didn't go out on the break. She was on the other side of the wall. She ran over to the nurse's station and said, I think this girl's going to have a seizure and I'm really worried about her. Someone needs to go take care of her. The woman who did not like what I did with the dosage in the morning, she came over to me and she verbally attacked me. And then she threatened me and she intimidated me. And I stopped crying and I said, what are you doing? Why are you fighting with me? And she said, don't you dare tell people about your epilepsy and don't you scare them about your seizures. And they are very volatile and they are very unstable. And I said, wait a minute. I just told them that I could potentially have the situation, and I'm trying to prepare them without overwhelming them, specifically so they don't get scared in that situation. And she kept fighting with me for a few more minutes, and I looked her straight in the eye, and I said, no, and I'm not going to fight with you about this. So she took off. The rest of the afternoon, she continued to look for our opportunities to fight with me. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. You want to fight with someone? Go back and complain with the other nurses who apparently like to gossip about the people who live here. But I'm actually starting to like the people that are patients here, that are residents here. And we're getting very close bonds because we care about each other and we encourage each other and we support each other. And I think that's the catharsis for the individual situations that we each have very differently. When we start to get together, we do well. And I even started coaching some of the patients and some of the hospital staff. Which then brings me to the next issue that I had. It was so ironic. I actually said, "Do you understand that the emotional connection is invaluable? It's priceless." Because as the hospital staff was talking to me, they were kind of being provocational with other people as well. And one of the other residents was having a problem with her neck. So I said, "Hey, you know what? I have some lotion. I used to do massage." I gave her a massage. Ooh, well, that nurse, she did not like me doing that. She didn't actually say that I couldn't. She just became more aggressive and confrontational with me. That made me more anxious. And I was thinking to myself, just don't have the seizure. You can be strong. I replayed what my daughter said to me and what my husband said to me. Yeah, it was important for me to hear that because I could nurture myself and my soul. That's my heart and my mind and my body to fight these seizures. But I was getting scared. At night, I could have another seizure. I was waiting for my medication, but I was talking to people, and that was really good. The residents who were not being listened to by the doctor or the nurse, well, some behavioral health technician said, "Yeah, I'll listen to you, and I'll care about you, and I'll pay attention to you. I just don't have the power to do anything significantly for you, but I will be your support system." Well, there was one patient, yeah, he said, "I don't like the way this is going." And as we were talking and building a friendship bond, he said, "You know, we need to talk with the staff and even the hospital higher-ups about the way that some of these nurses are behaving." I said, "Absolutely." But it got to the point where I was telling the staff, "Well, they switch shifts at around 7 o'clock. I said, "I really do need my evening dose. What time is my evening dose? I go to bed at 8. I would like it at 7. They said, "No, evening dose is at 9. I said, "I need my medication. Please just give me my anticonvulsant so I can get some sleep." Well, one of the nurses saw that I was getting bad, and two of the BHTs were there. And I said, "You know what? She yelled at me for telling people that I might have a seizure, but you guys need to know. Okay, this is getting really bad. I am exhausted now from what happened today, and I need my medication, and I've been missing out on sleep, and I haven't had a nap, okay?" So as I was trying to support myself up, holding my head up while I was waiting for someone to administer my medication, I ended up having a seizure. And it was about 8:30, and one of the behavioral health technicians said, okay, I think she needs her medication, and I think she needs to get to sleep." So they finally did take me over to my bed, and I said, "Thank you very much. I appreciate your personal interest in me." He said, "You know what? You need to get some rest." Yeah, I did. So the next morning, I actually spoke to the other behavioral health technician, and I said, "Wow, I'm still exhausted from what happened yesterday and last night." And she said, "No, I knew you were having a seizure because one of my family members has epilepsy. It was pretty bad." And I said, "Okay, so you're well aware of the signs, but you didn't really say anything." She was kind of trying to be passive aggressive with me too. And then I saw her fighting with the other patients. And I said, "What are you doing? Why are you being this way? They are having a hard time. You're just contributing to whatever it is that they're suffering through." Well, apparently before I woke up, she had been a whole lot worse to other people. And I said to them, "What's going on here?" Well, the two of them that I had become very close friends with said, "She's a horrible, evil woman. And she scared and threatened and intimidated a couple of them." And I said, "Okay, we need to figure out what's going on." And so I said, "You know, just because I've been in the homeless shelter situation, I've heard of grievances." We got together and said, "Yeah, we're going to file not only grievances, but formal complaints to the higher up. We need to go to whoever is the one who receives these grievances." "Yeah, that's human resources. Okay." So we're deciding we're going to go ahead and talk about our experience with this particular staff member. Well, apparently, yeah, they're not really a hospital employee. They're through a temp agency. Well, so they can go ahead and get away with whatever they want. Boy, if that wasn't the sound of Cass all over again. I don't know what wasn't. What was? What is it? What was it? Okay, yeah, I'm still a little bit tired, but I'm feeling better because I knew that even though there were people like this, there were other people like the one, the nurse, no, it was just a BHT that brought me to bed and said, you need to get some rest. And when we come in to take the vitals of your roommate, we're not going to scream anymore and we're not going to turn on the light. So I actually said to my husband that day, the day that we decided to put a report in about this woman who was screaming and swearing and intimidating the other patients, I said to my husband, it actually took me having a seizure for them to give me what I needed and to listen to me. And he said, you know, because a lot of people there like to fake it. They wanted to see that it was real. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and accept that that's what it was, or if it was something else, maybe they didn't care, maybe they just weren't doing their job, they don't know how to listen, whatever. The point is, now they are going to do their job, they're going to understand that certain things for my condition, it's not a psychiatric condition, it's not a mental health issue, they're just not negotiable. Okay, so then I started to spend more time with the other patients, and man, we're actually becoming friends. But there is a policy, no affection. Not to the staff, not to the other patients. And I thought, but wait a minute. Don't you guys know that hugs and, yeah, well, okay, we're not going to kiss because that could potentially be sexual. But hugs are cathartic and touching is healing. It's a connection that, okay, well, yeah, no, but it's inappropriate. Okay. So I called my husband again later that night and I said, I what do you think it's, I haven't been with you or my son or my daughter, with any of my friends from our congregation and the people here that I'm starting to love. I can't give them any of my love. How do you think I feel now? And he said, yeah, probably like you need to be there. I said, yes, but you know what? I'm just going to keep my head up. And the people that I'm actually starting to coach now, three of them were patients, two of them were hospital staff. That was cathartic for me, teaching them how to be, to get out of that place, like what I was doing at the shelter. And I said, okay, so maybe this is a good thing. Well, that came back down to the psychiatrist the next day, came in, and I said, okay, I need to get my medication straightened out. And she said, no. They actually tried to get me to take an antipsychotic pill. I said, I'm not going to take that. And I told the psychiatrist, I said, they forced me, well, tried to, but I just kept saying no, to take something that I don't need. And she said, well, clearly you're psychotic. I said, how am I psychotic? I haven't done or said or been anything even questionable in the days that I've been here. And she said, well, that's not what your file says. I said, what in the world does my file say? Well, that apparently you assaulted someone at the hospital, at community hospital. I said, what? Who did I assault? Well, we don't have to tell you that. I said, okay, so what kind of psychotic behavior have I demonstrated? I don't have to tell you that. Okay. Well, since I'm not going to take the pills and you're not going to talk to me, is there anything else to discuss here? She said, well, no, we're going to go ahead and call your daughter and see how psychotic you are. We're going to find out the truth. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Okay, and if I continue to refuse to take the pills, she said, then we'll send you to another facility and then we'll take you to court. We will get a court order to force you to take the pills. And I said, whoa. I actually got scared and I got worried that they were going to treat my daughter the way they were treating me. And I said, you know what? She's going to tell you the truth. There's nothing psychotic about my behavior. So go ahead. You can go ahead and give her a call. And I'll just give her a heads up that you're going to be interrogating her. She said, fine. I said, is there anything else? She said, no, we have nothing to say to you. And I said, okay, so this lady is kind of scary. I walked out and I looked at the people in the lobby who had apparently also dealt with her. And they just looked at me like, yeah, she's pretty bad. And I looked in the nurse's station and they all ignored me. And I said, okay, so. Thank you. It was time to talk to people not only who lived there for an extended period of time, but who worked there for an extended period of time. We need to figure out how to get this situation better, because if I am not mentally ill and they are treating me this way, how in the world do they treat the people who are mentally ill? You know what? Some of them are provocational, but other ones are peaceful. Some of them are frustrated, but other ones are optimistic and hopeful. I knew that it was going to be time for me to find the resources, the emotional resources, the strong and healthy people, the loving and generous people. If we could collaborate, if we could combine our good energy and make the situation better for the people who really and truly were exhausted and hopeless and depressed, they were lost and confused about what their options were. Yeah, there were some people who, by the time I was kind of, let's just say, putting out feelers, right, inventory, they said, wow, you actually care about us. I said, so much more than you know. And the fact that I can't hold anybody here is driving me crazy. Well, you know what? Later on that night, the BHT who actually helped me get into bed and get the sleep I needed and the pill that was mine, right? Yeah, I was talking to my husband on the phone. He overheard me. I said, I need to hug somebody. I'm going crazy. He said, okay, you know what? I'll go in and take care of something, right, for my work, some kind of responsibility, and no one will see. If you want to hug me, it's okay. He actually let me give him a hug, and it felt so good. And I said, okay, see, that was another shot in the arm. That was what gave me the energy to keep going and to look for more people there. And I said, you know what? We're going to file the grievances for what happens to the people here. We got rid of the staff member who was horrible that night that I had a seizure. Yeah, we talked to human resources. I talked to human resources and I said, look, this is what a nurse said and did to me. That's not acceptable. Every single staff on a new rotation has new sets of rules. They have new policies and procedures. They don't really feel accountable to the residents here. The patients should be the ones who tell them what they need, and the staff should give them. Obviously, if there are policies and procedures, stay within those parameters, but they need to give the people here what they need in the right way. Well, apparently, Monday came around. The staff was totally different. Everything was better. Well, but they said, okay, so it's clear that you don't belong here. You've basically been here for 3 days and you don't need to be, but you got to do the paperwork. And I said, okay, so what are we looking at? 3, maybe 4 more days? They said, well, no, because you haven't displayed any symptoms of any kind of mental illness. So let's see if we can pull some strings and make it faster. Wow, you know what? But I was actually starting to love the people that lived there, right? The ones that were only here for 3 weeks for them to fix a few things, tweak my medication. My roommate, she checked out because she was done detoxing, and I kind of missed her. And there was a new girl who came into my room that day, and I started to bond with her. And then one of the guys that was going to be there for a while, they got him approved to move out. And the other girl that I was coaching, she moved out. And it actually hurt my heart, and I couldn't hug them or kiss them goodbye. And I said, wow, you know what? I really do care about these people. It's important to give them the love that they deserve. Sometimes you can't give it in the way that you want, but we had time together. And by the time they left, we had gotten the BHTs, when they take us out for our smoke break, to throw a football with us. We even had the chef, right, from what do they call it? It's not really a kitchen, just the cafeteria. He came out and threw the football with us. I learned how to throw a football. It was really fun. And yeah, that was cathartic too. It kept me in a good state of mind. We started doing puzzles together. By the time we were doing our smoke breaks, we had music. And we were all sitting as a group talking. And it was very, very sweet. And it was peaceful, and it was loving, and it was encouraging. I knew I was moving out by Wednesday, but my roommate on Tuesday, yeah, my new roommate, she became my friend. I got their information, their personal contact information, before I moved out on Wednesday. And yeah, we have kept in touch. What really bothered me is, according to company policy, you're not allowed to stay in touch with any of the employees because, yeah, there could be a boundary issue. It could present a personal threat to them for the most unstable people. But we knew that we cared about each other. And what I want listeners, viewers to understand is it's important to know who you are and to communicate with people, but it's more important to make sure that your energy is healthy. And when you come together with people, even in a horrible situation with horrible people who do horrible things, you have the opportunity to make any situation better. Reach out for the people and the things that give you support and encouragement. Yeah, in the end, I had work that I was supposed to do before I got out, but I didn't have any access to my phone and I couldn't tell them exactly when I was coming out. They let me use a hospital phone to call my husband and daughter so I could keep in touch with them. And yeah, I ended up calling them several times because I knew that that's what was cathartic for me. And helping other people, that gave me the energy and the positive mindset that helped me to make it through. Even when I was waiting for my ride, yeah, I was supposed to be out at a certain time. Well, there were delays, but I still had a good time with the people while I was waiting because I knew that no matter what had happened, the situation happened for a reason, and the help that I gave the people who work there was just as important to me as the help that I gave the people who resided there, the actual patients. And so when I think about our ability to make a situation better or worse, do you know the opportunities that you have in life, that every negative circumstance and situation affords you the opportunity to be either positive or negative in response to it? Do you know the power and the influence that you have over people? And when you offer them something positive, they will either take it or they will reject it. More often than not, people will be so pleasantly surprised that you even offered them anything positive that they'll take it. Sometimes we don't want to take it from others. But the principle that I say there's more joy in giving than in receiving. When someone is offering you, when they're giving you something that's very high quality, even if it's only out of sincere and genuine interest for you, take it. Give them that joy of giving to you and be grateful. Well, you don't need anything. Well, that's okay. Just be grateful for their genuine interest in you and their willingness to give. That's what makes a situation better. And that's what creates the connection that are the foundation for the bonds that can last a lifetime. And when you understand that your power of synergizing with the people in your life, creating the situations to afford you the opportunity to synergize with people in your life, you might be more fulfilled than you even thought was possible because something new, yeah, it could be good or bad. Make sure you use your personal power for good. That's the responsibility that you have. Know who you are. Even if it's just to say, I don't know what I'm doing, you can be honest with people. Thank you so much for listening. And again, if you want to ask me questions, you can send an email to thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com.